From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's the third day of January. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Chris Hurt, Purdue University Extension agricultural economist, will be here with his outlook for 2017 in pork production across the nation. We'll also talk about agricultural energies today with Harry Cooney from Bloomington, Illinois and Growmark. As we close out our time together, we'll take our first look at the weather forecast for the month of January with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon, the first trading day of the year. It's the third day of January. Wayne Nelson is out of the office this afternoon. However, John Hester from his New Market office is with us. Thanks, John, for filling in. We appreciate it. Hope you had a great New Year's.
Well, I did, and thanks for having me today, Todd.
Well, let's review some things that happened in the last year to begin with. When you look back over time, I was looking at the lead option or March and January contracts for corn and March for wheat. And these are kind of the way things finished up for the year. March 17, wheat finished at 408. That was down a penny, $1.02 from where it opened the 2016 year. And it was $1.61 lower than it was in the month of June. And that was the high not only for wheat, but the high month for corn and soybean. Soybean, by the way, started the 2016 year at $9.96 and a half. That was up $1.13 and a half from where it opened. It finished the 2016 year, and it was $1.13 and a half, that is, from where it opened last year. However, it was still at $9.96, $1.85 and a half off its June high. And corn finished 2016 at $3.52, 40 and a half cents lower than where it opened the year. And it was $1.25 off of its June high. So soybeans actually had, John, a not so bad year, but when you look at the highs, those all came right in the middle of the 2016 season. As you look forward into 2017, what are your expectations? And I think maybe we probably should start with soybeans.
Okay, I think soybeans, the increase in soybean price had a lot to do with the funds speculating last year that South America was going to have a very good crop. And they weren't counting on the drought, and the beans down there weren't as good as they thought they were going to be, and then that created the rally in the soybeans. This year, I think it's more of the same in the soybean crop, only I think the funds have front-loaded it. They're speculating that there could be a bad crop down there, so they're keeping the soybean prices propped up. You know, the bulls are saying there's plenty subsoil moisture down there to have a great crop, and the bears are saying that there's not. So it's ebb and flow right now on where beans are going to go. But, you know, I think if bean prices, or if they do have a very good bean crop in South America, the funds will roll out of their long positions, and you know, my opinion is beans will be a dollar lower at least.
Up, and you said something about up front at this point. And one of the other things that many have discussed as being loaded up front are the exports for soybeans. Part and parcel of that was the poor crop from last year, forcing end users, China in particular, to turn to the United States as the best supplier on the planet to provide them with soybeans, not only from this crop, but from the previous crop. Have we seen any tailing off of that export marketplace for soybeans yet to China from the United States?
I think they've backed off a little bit. Exports were not that great this week on the beans. They were a little out of the range on the bottom end, but, you know, it was a short week also. So, you know, I think they will start to tail off, and, you know, South America will start to harvest in the highlands, or maybe they already are. And, you know, there will be some more beans available out of South America before too long.
Looking forward again into 2017 as it relates to soybeans, corn as well. Acreage is expected to be higher for soybeans. Is that your expectation at this point? And if it is there anything producers should be doing?
I think, you know, the coffee shop rumors now are, you know, everybody is talking, or the farmers are talking, that they're going to plant more beans than they had planned on. And I think if you're planning on throwing an extra 100 or an extra 80 acres of beans in your mix, you should price that 80 or 100 acres if you can get beans to rally back close to $10 again.
I know that probably much of that coffee shop talk would be on the idea that the price of soybeans is higher than the price of corn. Do you feel any underlying rift there that it might be based on what farmers are seeing as they begin to figure their taxes and what their incomes for the 2016 year were, and what they might have to ask their lenders for in the 2017 season? So basically I'm saying, are they going to plant soybeans because it's simply cheaper to do it?
You know, I think there will probably be some of that, but we both know that the farmer predominantly likes to plant corn. I think there will be a little of that. You know, the bank may say, hey, or the lender, hey, we need to cut down on overhead. And that's one way to do it. But I think the ratio is going to be the main reason that, you know, the farmers think that they can make more money at $10 beans than they can $3.50 or $3.40 corn.
And finally, with the soybeans, what was the reason for the drop in the market today, down somewhere between 8 and 9 cents?
All right, I think they're unwinding some spreads. They're buying corn and selling some beans. And I think another factor is the generally favorable weather in South America. It's not ideal, but it's not bad. And I think they're also, you know, they're playing a little bit on the fact that they think there'll be 2 to 4 million more bean acres in the U.S. taken away from the corn.
Is there anything you've been watching in the livestock sectors at all that you think is worth mentioning for the day?
The only thing that I know of in the livestock is that the pig report came out Friday, and they had 5% more sows or gilts held back for breeding purposes, and that should create more feed usage and more pork to be put on the market in the next 6 months. So, you know, I would say that pork prices should head down if in fact the extra 5% of breeding stock do show up.
Hey, John, thanks so much for taking so much time with me today and for filling in for Wayne. Tell him thanks for all he does for us, too. We appreciate what you guys do there.
All right. Hey. Thanks for talking to me, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is John Hester. He works with Wayne Manelson out of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Up next, the last USDA Hogs and Pigs report issued in December estimated this year's supply of pork will be larger than most analysts expect. I'll have more in a moment on how that will happen. Well, U.S. pork producers, in the last quarter of 2016, set a pigs per litter record, 10.63. For the whole of the year, the new annual record is 10.5 pigs per litter. Every sow is having more pigs. Well, given these numbers, the industry will increase pork output by about 3% this year, says Purdue University Extension agricultural economist Chris Hurt.
And that will be to 25.7 billion pounds. Pork production will rise by 4% in the first half of 2017, by about 2% in the last half.
What does this mean for the price of hogs? With 3% higher production, one might expect annual prices to be lower. However, there are additional items to consider, says Chris Hurt.
First, retail prices did drop in 2016, but there is an opportunity for retail prices to come down even more. And lower retail prices will help stimulate the quantity of pork consumers purchase. Secondly, USDA expects exports to expand by 5%, and that will move more of the increased production to foreign consumers. Finally, with the addition of new processing capacity, the farm-to-wholesale margins are expected to drop. Now, lower margins at the processing stage may contribute to stronger bids to hog producers.
Live hogs are expected to be about $48 across the whole of 2017, $2 higher than in 2016. Chris Hurt predicts prices will average $45 in the first quarter of the year, the very low 50s in the second and third quarters, and then drop to $43 in the final quarter of 2017. A range of $2 higher or lower would be reasonable for price projections. He expects cost of production to be around $50 on a live weight basis, both in last year and this year, that based on current feed price expectations.
This means the industry operated at an estimated loss of about $12 per head in 2016 and is expected to have losses that average around $6 per head in 2017. Losses are expected in the first quarter of 17 to be about $13 a head. Then we'll expect to see modest profits return in the second and third quarters. Then with the largest losses of the year in the final quarter, maybe around $18 per head.
Because the 2017 outlook is for weak returns, the Purdue Number Cruncher says it's important hog farmers keep further expansion to a minimum. This will be difficult with new processing capacity coming in 2017, as those plants will want to stimulate some added production to fill their lines. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. We're now joined by Harry Cooney, as we usually are at this time of the month, to talk about the agricultural energy markets. Hey, Harry, hope you had a really good holiday season.
Well, good afternoon, Todd, and welcome to 2017. We did. We had a great holiday season, and now back at it, watching these exciting markets as we get into the new calendar year.
What can you tell me about this first trading day for the energies and the agricultural markets?
Well, the energy sector came in strong earlier today, and it didn't race higher, but it was firmer. Products were maybe 2 to 3, maybe as much as 4 cents higher at one time. However, those gains evaporated by midday, and the market went on lower at late morning or so, and typically seasonality, because you tend to rally throughout the holiday season and then into the first week in January, then it tends to try to set back. So maybe we've already tried that little bit of a setback. So historically, this is about what would normally occur at some point in that first week in January to try to put some type of seasonal peak in price in place, just a short-term one, though.
So crude oil jumped up to $55, a bit more than that earlier in the day. It backed off, of course, then. Are there other things that happen seasonally? Do you look to have producers try to purchase inputs on, for instance, the idea that we will have that seasonal little drop in the marketplace?
Well, that's a great question, and you're asking it at a perfect time of the year, because we're in that window of opportunity where end users should take and look to take advantage of price dips from now through the end of February to lock in some of their needs for part or all of the year of 2017 now. So this is an excellent time for them to be getting their shopping lists put together and get ready on price breaks to take advantage of some of these prices that, even though we've rallied, and you talked about in the lower 50s for crude, historically in the past 5 to 10 years, those are still good numbers. So if we can just get a little relaxing in price here, look at your shopping list, see what you need to lock in, and then talk to your local FS member cooperative about the programs they offer to get you into the new year.
And so how much further back do you think this would go before you'd think about pricing something, whether it be gasoline or diesel fuel?
Well, I don't have any numbers, exact numbers. It's just that the dollar rally here seems like it's helping. As the dollar rallies, of course, that's negative to commodities, including energies. And so if the dollar will continue to rally some more, it may help us relax the energy markets back down. So just look at buying dips. I'd rather buy dips in price than I would rallies. And the rally at the end of the last calendar year went away. So this is taking some of that steam off the strength from late December and starting to open up that window of opportunity.
Any reason to think that since we're up in this 103 area for the dollar that it might begin to back off?
Well, at some point it'll need to correct itself back down. However, if you look at some of the charts of the dollar, some of the price charts, it would suggest that the dollar can go moderately higher from here. I mean, if you look at some of the charts, it's hard to get real negative on the dollar. And if interest rates continue to firm up, that will probably give the signal to the dollar for it to firm up more also.
Anything else that we need to talk about before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, one thing is these weather forecasts for the last half of January have turned even warmer today. One of the big markets here that's sold off is natural gas. Natural gas down over 10% today, a big drop in natural gas prices.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Yovai Extension's Todd Gleason. Glad to be back in the saddle here at the radio station and talking to you live. Although I'll be on the road quite a bit in the month of January, February, and of course in March. If you haven't put it on your schedule yet, and we're not selling tickets, but you might want to put it down. The All-Dag Outlook is Tuesday, the 7th day of March. Between now and then, I'll be on the road a lot starting the 17th of January. A series of meetings that you can see online at our willag.org website. Just look for the calendar. I'll be out with the Farm Credit folks in Mahomet and Decatur, Altamont and Collinsville, Watsika, Sherman, Carlinville, Ashland, Mount Vernon, and McLeansboro up in Sycamore for an event, and then in Olney as well. That all through just the 14th day of February. So a lot of places will be headed in the next month, month and a half. If you have an event you'd like us to come out and host, or maybe more importantly, bring our panel of analysts to, give me a call at 217-333-9697 or just email me tgleason@illinois.edu. My contact information, of course, is at willag.org. Now let's check the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Don, thanks for being with us on this first trading day of the 2017 year.
Thanks for having me.
It appears, Don, that some cold weather is headed our way here in the United States. What can you tell me about later in the week?
Well, we certainly are going to have plenty of winter coming our way. There's a lot of cold coming out of West Central and Northwest Canada. We're going to see colder than normal temperatures spread across the Pacific Northwest, Northern Rockies, into the Plain States. And basically, this is going to be coast-to-coast below normal temperatures here by later this week. Now, it's not going to be permanent cold. It's going to be a transitionary, meaning we'll have some cold, we'll warm up, cold again, sort of an up and down pattern. But do be prepared for some below normal temperatures over the week, next week to 10 days for most of the U.S.
How far below?
Well, we're looking at, let's look in the Corn Belt Midwest. We're probably looking at anywhere from 2 to 4 degrees below normal. Certainly enough to notice. The coldest of cold in terms of relative to normal will be across the Northern Rockies, but we're going to see a pretty good penetration of some colder than normal temperatures as well, as far south as Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, all the way to the Gulf Coast. So this will be the first real salvo of real cold wintry weather for many folks east of the Mississippi.
So you're telling me by the end of the week, we'll have highs in the upper teens and lows may dip into the single digits. Turn your attention now to South America. Haven't really updated the weather forecast in about 3 weeks. What's been happening there over that time?
Well, we've seen it. It's been a little bit up and down in terms of the precipitation. The soil moisture profiles are okay in Argentina. There are a few dry pockets. Many of the growing areas of Brazil in a similar situation where really there's no excessively dry nor excessively wet area, which when you look at the big pictures, adding up to so far a fairly decent growing season to date. And as we look over the next week or two, rainfall over Brazil and Argentina looks to be averaging at least near normal. So they're headed towards some pretty good conditions here over the next week or so.
Hey, thanks, Don. Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us each and every Tuesday here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Yovai Extension's Todd Gleason.